Well, praise the Lord. You know, it just dawned on me as I was talking about that at the end there in the prayer, I always, you know, invite the Holy Spirit to move upon us as He wills. Hallelujah. And you got to remember that the Holy Spirit moving upon us as He wills is not the same as us moving the Holy Spirit as we will. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, in some spirit churches, they like to move the Holy Spirit and do what man wills, but we know that that's not the way that it works. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are a word and spirit church, but we know that God also works in order, and He works decently. Praise the Lord. And so we believe Him for that. Amen. Praise God. So the first and foremost way to do that is to follow the pulpit. Praise the Lord. You know, last week we had a wonderful service. Praise the Lord. And the Lord led me to minister to some people. But you know, that doesn't happen every service like that. But when it does happen, it's important to go with it too and flow with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we endeavor, you know, those things, we endeavor to operate according to God, not according to man's tradition or what we like or what we want to do. Praise the Lord. And so we know first and foremost is the word. Amen. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And so if we follow the word, we can't ever go wrong. Praise God. Because if we follow the word, it'll teach us about following the Spirit, and the Spirit will work with us accordingly. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. I'm glad you showed up today. Praise God. We got this is the grand finale of a three-part message. Praise the Lord. And that message is called What's the Plan? And today is What's the Plan Part 3, Your Focus. Hallelujah. What's the plan? We've been talking about the plan and purpose of God. It's been stirring in me some time to preach along these lines and to preach some of the things that I've been preaching these last few weeks, and I'm really excited for what God has for us in there. But you know, we started, and I'm not going to recap as much as I did even last week, but we started in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. We talked about what God's original purpose for man was, and we saw how God had purposed good things and big things for us, and that purpose didn't ever change. The devil got in and kind of thwarted some of those plans and purposes, but God's purpose for humanity has remained the same, amen? And so we talked about that, and we saw that, and I encourage you, if you weren't here, go back and listen to the archives. We keep put them online for a reason. You know, it would be really good to put this all in context for you so you can understand, not just preaching, you know, just pulling something out of a hat and preaching it just because I want to, praise the Lord. But there is direction that flows through all that. God had a purpose for us, and it only makes sense, because why would a God, an intelligent God, because he created everything we know, he's got to be smarter than we are, praise the Lord. So why would an intelligent God create something with no purpose? You know, one thing I talked about is if you have some property, you just start building buildings on it with no purpose that you couldn't use, that were just there just to build them. Generally, you wouldn't do that. And I'm not talking about, you know, an art installation or something like that. Of course, there are things out there. People, you know, artists might make something with no specific purpose or opposite of purpose. But generally speaking, if you were developing, if you were doing things, if you were trying to make money, you wouldn't just be doing things with no purpose. You would, you have a plan. And, you know, we even see that in the natural world, that as a good businessman will put together a plan. As they go by that plan, they work things out to benefit and grow the business. Amen. You know, I remember when I was first, I was always kind of business minded. I wanted to have a business. Praise the Lord. And I remember when I was first in my first business, I considered I was going to open a record in store, praise the Lord, / coffee shop in downtown Jamestown. And I was about, I think I was about 16 or 17 when I was planning how to do this. And I went through all the, I mean, and this is before really the internet was being used much, you know. And so I was like making cold calls. I was going up and talking to people and figuring out how things were, you know. And I remember even talking to some financial places, because you got to get finances to be able to do something, you know. People just don't want to give you stuff for free. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so have we learned that yet? You know, I love all, they still have commercials out there with stuff or things advertising for free stuff. And people still fall victim to all that. If you learn there ain't nothing free, like there's reason, because they didn't make that commercial for free, they had to pay for it. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. So I was going through all this, and I remember sitting down, I think, with or talking on the phone with a small business association. Figured, hey, that's a good place to go. And they told me, you know, when you got to make a business plan. And I'm like, what's a business plan? You know, and they told me what a business plan is, a plan for the business. They want to know why I think it's going to succeed. And I was kind of dumbfounded. I'm like, well, because I like it. I just want to do it. I didn't want to think about all this planning and go through all this stuff. I didn't want to figure everything. All I wanted to do was open a shop and start selling records because it's cool. I thought everybody would like that, you know. But no, if somebody's going to lend you money, they want a business plan. They want to know that you have an idea of where it's going to go. Well, the same thing is with God. God has a plan and a purpose for us. Unfortunately, so many times Christians, though, they don't ever get into that plan. They don't ever seek the Lord and find out what his plan is. Praise God. They just come up with these. They think because if they feel something, then that automatically must be the direction God wants them to go. But we know that that's just not the truth. We know that it's not the truth that you can't, that God doesn't work like we do. He doesn't work haphazardly. He doesn't just work on a whim. He didn't just wake up one morning and say, hey, Holy Spirit, hey, Jesus, praise the Lord, let's build something. We're going to build an earth, and then we're going to throw some people on it, and then we're just going to make it like, we're going to just, that's not the way it worked. God planned it out. He had a purpose for us being here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. We're gonna start in the Bible. We're going to start with the Word because the Word is always important. Amen? We want to stay focused on the Word. So I hope you brought your word with you. But if you didn't, don't be condemned. Just bring it next time. You know, I had this thought as I was putting together the final touches on this message even this morning. You know, when a soldier goes to battle, they don't just give them, they don't just send somebody out there that's untrained and just throw a rifle in their hand and say, here, go ahead and go shoot some people. No, what they do, they put them through rigorous training first. You know, the word of God is that with us. If we're going to battle through life, if we're going to go through the battles of life, because there's battles in life, not because God's will, but there is because we have an enemy. We have to know our weapon, amen? Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us this is it. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a purpose to us. And you can go ahead and turn to Romans 12:2 and just get ready there. Praise the Lord. There is a purpose to us and what we are and what we are to do. And that purpose is part of an amazing plan. It's an amazing plan that God has. An absolute amazing plan. It is so intricate. There were so many detailed parts. You know, it's like this earth and everything in it is such a beautiful, well-created machine. When you look at when you break down and you look into the way things operate, just the way your own body operates is absolutely amazing. God has a plan and a purpose. Amen. It's time we stop thinking of church the way we always did. Oftentimes how we perceive church is how we perceive God, because how the world perceived church is how they perceive God. You understand what I'm saying? Like a lot of times we look at church, and I'm not just talking about the church, the building. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the church. This is what God made us, is the church. But see, so often we think as church is as something that we do. Okay, we go to church on Sundays, and we separate it from ourselves. You know, people even say, I've even had people say to me many times since we've been here, you know, they talk about your church. You know, it's not my church, it's our church. And we are part of the church. It's not that this is a building that is here that we go to, like we go to Tops or like we go to Walmart. That's not what church is about. Church is where the saints, where the church gathers. Hallelujah. Where the church comes together. So church, the building, is where church, the people, come together and learn how to flow and operate in the plan of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We should not just live life and go to church. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And therefore, we should exist as the church is supposed to exist. It is so important for us to realize this. If we understood what God really meant when he created, we're going to see some of this today. But because this is wrapping up the plan of God, is where our focus is. And see, if our focus is in the wrong areas, if we don't perceive things correctly, if we don't look at the plan of God, or if we don't even understand. And the reason I bring all this, and I can't get off of it just yet because the Spirit is directing me this way, but you have to understand something. What we perceive church to be is what we get out of it. If you look at your local churches, I can go here or I can go there, then you have no idea of God's plan. You don't realize that God didn't, listen, even you know, people that come to Corey and help us, praise the Lord, from this church, but this ain't their church. If you can just go to any church, you have no idea what God's doing for you. Now listen, God will direct you into it. Sometimes God will move you on from one place and put you in. I'm not saying that won't happen, but there will be a planning process with it. He doesn't do it willy-nilly. He doesn't just come up and say, I guess today you can go to a different church. That's not the plan and purpose, because God has established the local church. Listen, you can't do it. What if you had a business? What if you opened your coffee shop / record store uptown here in Mayville? Praise the Lord. And you were open for a month. Do you know how long it takes people to even know that you're there for a business? I mean, we've been in this town for 3 years. There's still people came in. I didn't even know you were there. You know, I drove by and saw the bill or whatever. You know, sometimes you'll be somewhere for a while. You're getting established. People still don't know you're there. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing if you had a business and you just up and moved it a week later. Just up and moved it. Didn't tell anybody. No warning. No nothing like that. No advertisement. You just moved it. Nobody would know. And you move it down to Westfield. Praise the Lord. You're only 10 minutes away, but nobody knows you moved. And then all of a sudden you're there for a month and you up and move. Praise the Lord. Well, see, Christians do this all the time. They don't take time to find out where God has them planted. Your local church is not up for, I'm going to go here today and I'm going to go to the Baptist church next week and I'm going to go to the Methodist church the week after that and then I might go to the Catholic church and back here. Praise the Lord. That's not the way it works. And we've done such a great disservice teaching people that's okay. See, God, and now listen, I didn't go out on the street and say, hey, each one of you got to come in here. But when you come in and then you decide, wait a minute, there's something here for me. When you've recognized that, then you recognize God's doing something and then you get planted. Hallelujah. I remember there was a time in my life I wasn't planted in any church. I didn't know where to go. And so I church hopped. I went around to church to church to church and nothing fit right. Amen. And sometimes that happens. But God always leads his people to eventually to a place to be planted. Amen? And where you're planted, and how do you know you're planted in the right place? I can tell you this. If you're not getting fed, you're not planted in the right place. If you're not getting fed from the Word of God, if you're not hearing the Word of God, praise the Lord, if it's not doing something in your life, the Word of God always changes. And so if there's no change, there's one of two reasons. Either you're not getting fed or you're not eating. Ooh. You're not getting fed or you're not eating. See, because you can sit in this, you can sit in the seats and not eat. You can sit here and listen, or you can sit here and be a hearer but not a doer. So you can't say, you can't not do and say, well, I'm not getting fed either. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's all free, no charge. But we got to look at the church the way the church is supposed to look at. We are the church. We're not separate from the church. If you're a Christian, if you want what God has, and that includes salvation, if you want those things, then you are the church. You're not separate from the church. So it's not like, so the next time somebody starts talking and you're like, you don't know if you want to say you're a Christian, or you don't know if you want to, you really want to be that part of it. You know, I don't know if I want to be as intense as Pastor Jeff is sometimes. I don't know if I want to, I don't want, listen, you just get on fire for God and let him show you what you need to be. Praise the Lord and stop. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans 12:2. What does this say here? It says, and do not be conformed to this world. I'm going to flip there my actual Bible too, praise the Lord, because, you know, I've been telling you I love it. I love actually having the Word written, this Word written, and not just on a device. I think it's important. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm glad you're excited about that. Hallelujah. Yeah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I've got plans for you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. We love to read the scriptures. Amen. But look at this. Do not be conformed to this world. This is talking to Christians. Listen, you can be a Christian and be conformed to this world. What does that mean? You're kind of molded around their plan, that plan. That's the idea that you do. That's how you base your life. That's how you build your life. If you're building your life according to the world's standards, then you have lost all idea of what it is to be a Christian. You have lost the idea of what it is to be the church. I love what my pastor has always said. The world was never meant to change the church, but the church was needed to change the world. And yet so often, there's so many Christians that just want to let the world change church. We don't change church. Because the church is us. We cannot change the fundamentals of what we've been created with. Otherwise, we cease to be that thing anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's in buildings, you can have a house. You can build a house. It's meant for a one-family dwelling, and then you can turn it into apartments. So you've changed the purpose, and then you can change it into a store. You've changed the purpose. It's no longer the same thing. Even with building, they have building codes and stuff like this. Why do people know this in the world, but they think that we can do something different? Yeah. You know, we have to understand that we don't want to be conformed to the world. But look what it says. It says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That word "transform" in the Greek is where we get the word metamorphosis. It's like, you know, like a caterpillar crawls up to the stick and makes a cocoon. And then it changes. They call it metamorphosis. It changes into a butterfly. If you put a caterpillar and a butterfly next to each other, they even remotely resemble each other. Right. Not at all. Right. Praise the Lord. One can crawl and one can fly. Well, see, the caterpillar is an idea of being in the world. You can crawl around in the world and you can just kind of try and not get very far. Right. Or you can get transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. Praise the Lord, and then you can fly. You can do things you never could do before. You'll be filled with knowledge that you never knew had before. You'll see things differently than you ever saw before. Why? Because a caterpillar crawling around, if you crawl around on the earth all the time, praise the Lord, you don't see much. You know, I think about this when I fly. You know, you look at these hills. We have these beautiful hills around here. And you look over. If you drop down into Westfield and look backwards, you see what a huge hill we live on here. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you get up 30,000 feet in an airplane, it don't look like much. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what a lot of people, they're living in their world down here, not being transformed, not being metamorphosized into what God has them to be. And so they're looking at the world down here and everything they see, and then the mountains look huge. You see, there's no mountain that stands before God and he doesn't laugh at it. Praise the Lord. And God has made us to be the same way. He's made us to move mountains. Jesus said that you can move mountains by your simple words, just by what you say and what you believe. Nothing can stand before you. So why, I ask you, do Christians stand there and say, why is this mountain so immovable? It's because they don't know the Word. They don't know who they are. They don't know what God has made. They've never been transformed. Hallelujah. How could I be a drug user and a fornicator and living in the world and depressed all the time and suicidal and all this stuff and not even able to barely wash myself, clean myself? How could I go from that to being somebody who can run not just one ministry but two ministries? Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. It isn't because I'm so great. It isn't because I'm so awesome. But my God is. Amen. Because I allowed him to transform me. When we allow God to transform us, praise the Lord, according to his word. But see, when we try to transform, when we try to conform ourselves to what the world says, then we completely miss the whole point of everything. Praise the Lord. I have a note here in my Bible. I think I need to read it. Yes, hallelujah. This is where our dominion starts. This scripture right here, this is where our dominion. When you go back to Genesis and you read Genesis 1 and you find out about in the 28th, somewhere around there, you find out about our dominion that God wanted us to have. This scripture right here is where our dominion starts. By transforming our thinking, by metamorphosizing what we think, by renewing it with the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us things that are impossible. Amen. The Word of God tells us that Peter walked on water, did it not? You can walk on water here. Well, you might walk on the lake right now. I don't know if you can or not. Don't try, but you might be able to. Praise the Lord. But in the summertime in July, I bet you won't get very far on top of that water. Amen? See, the Bible tells us that things can happen when the Word of God is in effect, when the power of God is working in us, that things can happen that can't normally happen. Praise the Lord. And that's how you can transform, because when you get in there and when you stop looking at everything, when you stop looking at your problems or the things that you face in life, when you stop looking at them according to what you feel, right, or according to what Sister Bucketmouth said, right? Praise the Lord. When you start looking at them according to what the Word says, then things look differently. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is how and only how lives change. This is the first step toward that plan. love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Well, who doesn't love that scripture? Anybody don't love that scripture? Raise your hand. Everybody loves that scripture, loves what it says. But it starts here. The plan of God starts with renewing your mind according to the word. Transforming your mind, taking it from what it was. This is where the freedom of God is found, in the transformation of what you think. When you think the same stinking thoughts you always had, you're going to have the same stinking things you always got. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's plan starts right where you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 7. Praise God. Now, you remember last week, I don't know if you remember, but we read around Jeremiah 29. I think we started in the fourth verse. And we read about how God said to, what did he say? He said, seek the peace of the city. He said, start acting in the city like you're in captivity. Start acting like you're not, is basically what it says. I'm going to sum it up there. Praise the Lord, right? Here we see a similar thing, and this is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 7:17. We're going to read verse 24. It says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. So he does the same thing in all the churches. He declares it in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. I don't know how you could do that, but praise the Lord. Was anyone called while being uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Is this saying that circumcision is wrong or uncircumcision? People debate this stuff. It's not saying that at all. We got to read it in context. We have to read it with understanding. Amen? Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. What does that mean? They don't mean anything. It's not about those things anyways. Jesus told us that about the law, that the law was not about, the law was all about your heart issue. It wasn't about what was actually happening. It was about where your heart was. Amen? Praise the Lord. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Praise the Lord. This is the only thing that matters, following what God is telling you to do. First and foremost, he's told us in the Word. But then beyond the Word, there's things that Lord will speak to each one of our hearts. He'll say to you, give to this person or give to that person, do this or do that, and you won't. Praise the Lord. Or you will. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an example. On Christmas morning, I dropped my wife and my daughter off to my in-laws' house, and I was going to go too, but there was no parking where they were at, so I was just kind of driving around looking for a parking space, and I didn't want to park 4 miles away and walk. So I decided, I was just telling my wife, I'm like, well, you know, it's been snowing real hard, I'm going to go up and check our driveway, stuff like that. So I drive up to Mabel. I wasn't even supposed to come up here, amen? And as I was driving, there's just a little leading to go this certain direction, and so I chose the direction. Well, as I'm going down that road, you know, and sometimes we just pass things off. But as I'm going down that road, all of a sudden I see this car off in the ditch really bad, like off, you know, edge. And so I pull over to see if, you know, if I can help or if they need help or whatever. And this young woman gets out of the car, you know, tears are streaming down her face. She tells me they've been there for an hour. Praise the Lord. And they're like, they called AAA. AAA said they couldn't help them. Praise God. I mean, I'm sure Denny could tell you, there was a lot of cars that needed moved on Christmas Day. Praise the Lord. But they said that they couldn't even get there. So he's been there for an hour, can't go anywhere. Snow coming down. And I said, well, I got a rope in my truck. I think I can pull you out. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, and thank God I didn't have to get there, but I'm thinking, well, I got a guy that goes to my church that has a tow truck, and maybe I could call him too. But praise the Lord, we didn't have to go that far. I mean, I would have paid him because that's right and good, amen. But you know what I'm saying, like, and I didn't realize how busy he would have been either. But any rate, so I get this rope and I wrap it up a couple times because you know, just because I did and because it was smart too. And I just pulled the braid out. You know, it was no big deal. But you know, here's the thing: if I hadn't been going that way, they wouldn't have been helped. You understand what? See, God will put things in our path. Sometimes we look at different direction as being an inconvenience. You know what I mean? It wasn't inconvenient that I couldn't park because, praise the Lord, I saw that family the night before, so it wasn't like we were all really going without anything, you know what I mean? But you understand, purpose of what I'm saying is that God will put you in places to be able to help people or to be able to get help yourself, and you thought it was an inconvenience to you, and here the whole time, and I was actually in a bad mood Christmas. You probably asked my mom when I left her house that morning. I was kind of wore out, you know. Preached the day before. Preached a really awesome message, hallelujah. Glory to God, the day before, and I never got to, because afterwards we had a family party, so I never got to, like, get any rest afterwards. And so at any rate, I was really tired, I was in a bad mood, but you know, I left there, I was just on top of the world. I felt good about being able to help somebody. You know, and the purpose, I'm not trying to say, like, oh, look at me, because we should all be like that anyways. This should be what Christians are known for, is helping people, amen? But my point is that, it was the leading, following God, praise God, that took us there. What was the scripture we were at? 7:17. Well, we were at 19. Yes, yeah. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So it's important that we follow God, that we're following the plan of God, and that we learn how to be nudged by Him. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And we do that. One of the first places we learn how to be nudged by God is by obeying the simple commandments that we have. When we have the simple commandments, you know, the simple things that He tells us to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let each one remain in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. Okay, now see, people use scriptures like this to say, see, God doesn't mind slavery. He doesn't mind if you're a slave. Say, stay a slave. Well, first of all, that word slave is a totally different understanding of what we understand slave to be. He was not talking about the slavery like the that we had in this country or that every other country in the world had. Praise the Lord, so we're not the only bad guys, amen? But you understand that this isn't talking about that kind of slavery. But this is a translation from middle of the, 1500s, 1600s, 1611, right? Amen? This is based out of the King James translation, so that's where we get that, and praise the Lord. It says, do not be concerned about it. This is the important part of that scripture as far as I'm concerned. Do not be concerned about where you were at. Do you understand? A lot of people come to church for a lot of different reasons. God says, when you come to me, don't be concerned about where you're at. Don't be concerned about what you're not. Don't be concerned about what you don't have. Just be in the state that you're in and use it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For he who is called you, he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he is called while a free man, or free, is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Praise the Lord. I even put this in my Bible. I put, or like men. Don't become slaves like men. Because that's the way a lot of people are. You know, the Bible tells us you can serve one master. So this isn't, I'm not like adding words to scripture. This isn't taking things out of context. This is keeping it right there, amen? It tells us that you can serve, you can't serve more than one master. You will be a slave to God or you will be a slave to man. Or a slave to the devil, basically, is what it amounts to. See, so many people are slaves in this world and they don't even realize. They say, I don't want to go to church because they talk about binding you up and all this stuff. No, church is real freedom. And see, you're bound because you live according to the world's standards. You can't get beyond that. You can't get outside of that. Everything you think and do is based on everything everyone else thinks and does. And it may or may not work. Generally, it doesn't work. Amen? Praise the Lord. For he is called, he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. This is essentially saying the same thing that we heard in Genesis or Jeremiah 29. In the beginning of Jeremiah 29 back there, it's the same thing. It's when you come into God, when you come to God, your plan starts right there. God always has a plan for increase, always has a plan for betterment, always has a plan to take us up and out, praise the Lord. That's always God's plan. God, the Bible tells us we go from glory to glory. We always go from glory to glory if we follow the Lord. If we're following Him and His plan, He'll always take us through. Jesus said to Peter, and so many told him that the reason he sank in the water, or we're told in Scripture, the reason that Peter sank in the water is because he took his eyes off the Lord and started looking at everything that was around. What was he doing? He was focusing on the stuff that he wanted, the stuff that was coming against him, the stuff, you can use any metaphor you want. You understand? But it was focusing on the trial around him, the world around him. See, God wants you free. He wants you lifted up and brought out. Praise the Lord. He wants to take you up, set you out, and set you on. Praise the Lord. He wants you to testify of his goodness. He wants you to show, to be an example to the world of Christ. Hallelujah. When did Christ lay down? When was Christ defeated? He was only defeated, or seemed defeated, one time, and that's when he laid his life down. When he chose to be defeated. He did not. Do you notice that? Jesus never had lack in his life. We are called, and we're going to see this. Praise the Lord. We are called to be the same. We are called to live in the same. Now, just because you don't get wrong and don't get mad. Don't get me wrong and don't get mad at me. You got to understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying you won't have times where it seems like there's little, because, dear God, there's times when it seems like there's little. But see, if you know your God, it don't matter what state you're in, because you know where you're going. You know what's on the other side. There may be a trial, a financial trial of pressure against your life right now, but you know that if you follow God, he's going to take you through. You may be having a physical trial in your life right now. You may be having a breakdown in your family, hallelujah, that you don't know to get beyond, but you know that if you follow God, he will take you through. God is taking you over, because God is a mountain mover. God, and he made mountain moving children, because guess what? The child is supposed to resemble the father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what God has created us to be. God has not created us to be weak, but this world wants us weak. Why does this world want us weak? Because people who are weak are dependent on others. Praise the Lord. Yes. You don't think that a government wants you weak? Why? Why do you think all these social programs are for? To make people dependent on government. It makes government their God and takes their God and makes him of no effect. See, the devil knows this. God does not. God's got the best health care plan that exists. The blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. He says, by his stripes you were healed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But see, the problem is the church hasn't been walking in these things. And so the church, not because God isn't strong, but as the church doesn't walk these things out, then the power fades in the church and it dissipates. This is why you see once great religions that were built on so many wonderful things. You take like the Methodists, for example. It was built on amazing revival, amazing man of God, hallelujah. And now you have the Methodists who are splitting right now. One of the great things they're splitting over is homosexuality. Because one wants to still accept it, and one says that it's still no good in the Bible. Because the Bible said it was bad. One saying that the Bible, I talked to the Methodist minister in town. Praise the Lord. Sweet man. I like him a lot. I've had a lot of great conversations with him. But we were talking about just this thing. See, because some of them want to go one way, and some of them want to go the other way. Well, the ones that are going the other way, listen, they're just as evil as anything that's evil. Why? Because they're full of doctrines of the devil. You cannot have doctrines of the devil and not be evil. Praise the Lord. If you accept doctrines of the devil, then you are yourself evil. You're taking that upon yourself. You're saying, this is true over the word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're excited about that. But see, this is why things, you see, once great religions that were once built on such wonderful moves of God dissipate into to like almost nothingness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are we at on time? We're doing good. Hallelujah. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. It does not mean, this is not saying, this would be unscriptural. This would be the highest contradiction in Scripture to say that you come to Christ and that you always remain there. Well, how do I know this? Well, because we just read in Romans 12:2, which said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you were to remain always in the state which you were called, would that not be a contradiction, those two scriptures? Absolutely it would be. See, that's the problem with scriptures, when people take it out of context and they try to make it something it's not, and they don't read it with the understanding of other scriptures, you can make up anything you want. Hallelujah. You can make up some pretty crazy religions out of this if you just take scriptures out of context. Well, I could go through and tell you. One of the examples is there's a scripture that says Judas hung himself. There's another scripture that says, go thou and do likewise. Praise the Lord. You can make a religion out of that if you want. Some people do. But would that be right? Do you think God wants us to go hang ourselves? Well, absolutely not. He doesn't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do I know that? Because before Christ, I wanted to hang myself. And as I got closer to God, that feeling is gone so far away from me that I wouldn't even consider it now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, God is good. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at in the sense that he wants you to always be defeated. God wants you to walk into what he has for you. But see, you can't do it if you don't choose it. If you don't choose the plan of God. If you don't understand, first of all, you got to understand the plan. Remember, we talked about that the first week, that you need to understand purpose before you can understand the plan. You can't understand the plan if you don't understand the purpose. People are like, well, God, why would you want me to go in this direction? See, if you understand God's purpose, his plan makes more sense. When God says to do things like tithe, it makes sense when you understand the purpose. Amen? But if you just look at it and say, well, if you look at it like most people do, I remember coming into church being mad because somebody was talking about giving. Oh, I used to get mad. I don't get mad if people talk about giving now. I'm like, whoo, I'll just give. Praise the Lord. Not just to this church either. I'll give in other churches that I go to. Praise the Lord. I mean, like my pastor's church and, you know, I'm not, you know, and praise the Lord, we're not teaching about that today. But at any rate, but you understand, when you understand the purpose, then it's not so hard to do the plan anymore. When you understand that God wants you blessed, then it's not hard to move in his purpose. When you understand that God isn't trying to kill you, which a lot of people think, I mean, I don't know how many times I hear it. Somebody dies and like, well, God need another angel. That's such a bunch of garbage. It's not even funny. It's a load of crap. I'm going to just tell you right out. I mean, you can't, you know, some of you younger ones can't say that, but that's exactly what it is. It's a load of garbage. You can't, you know, the idea that God wants you dead when he sent Jesus so you could live, like how much sense does that make? He sacrificed his son so you could live. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Didn't Jesus say that? That's John 10:10, in case you forget the scripture. Yeah, that's what he said. Jesus said that. I said Jesus said that. That's when Jesus spoke, that was the will of God. He wanted you to have life and have it more abundantly. That did not mean that he wants you to walk around with every fancy thing in the world and just like hoarding it to yourself and just being a complete diphead. Hallelujah. That's not what God was talking about. That's not what Jesus was talking about. But on the other hand, if you serve God and you have something nice, God doesn't care. I mean, I don't want to say he doesn't care, because the truth is he actually wants that for you. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're excited about that. Amen. God is good. He wants good things for his children. Why? Because he's a good daddy. And good daddies want to bless their kids. Amen. I have not had one day in my life where I thought, you know what? I'd really love to give my son cancer. Never, that thought has never even remotely crossed my mind. I've never looked at my child and thought, you know what? How can I wipe them out today? I want to teach Caleb a lesson. I think I'm gonna break his leg. I think I'm gonna steal everything from him. Praise the Lord. And then what am I gonna do? And then I'm not gonna speak to him. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do all this stuff, and then I'm not gonna speak to him, and I'm gonna leave him to try to figure it out on his own, because I'm God, and that's the way I work. Stupidity. You want to follow that kind of Christianity? Go ahead and follow that kind of Christianity, but you ain't going to follow it here. And if you do, if you come here wanting that kind of Christianity, you're going to get mad every single week, because I'm going to tell you what, I'll smack it out of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. We don't like that kind of garbage. We want to teach. The Bible says the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Hallelujah. God invented good. So if we're talking about God's goodness, the goodness of God, that's exceedingly good. That's better good than you've ever known. Hallelujah. That's the kind of good you want to get into. Yeah. Amen. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. You aren't going to walk up to people on the street and say, hey, you're a liar, you're a fornicator, you're the devil, and then say, but you can come get, you, people aren't going to listen to that. Because there's something about people that just don't like to hear how wrong they are. Yeah. Listen, there's a time when you do got to tell people you're wrong. That's my job. Yeah, the Bible tells me. Hey, he says you teach them in what ways. I can't remember the exact scripture. It says show them in what ways their lives are wrong. That's part of my job. That's why I stand here and yell at you every week. But at the same time, if you listen to what I yell, praise the Lord, then you take it out there and your lives will transform. How do I know? Because I had a pastor that yelled at me. I had a pastor who threw things at me. No, he didn't throw things at me. I had a pastor who taught me things and showed me things in the Word that didn't always feel comfortable. But by God, when I started applying it to my life, praise the Lord, my life changed. That's pretty exciting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:7 says, "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace." You could say city. You can also look at these other scriptures, and you could also say, and it's not a stretch at all to say this, your situation. Yeah. Where's the situation? We understand that, it says where I carried you away captive. We have to understand, again, this is a translational issue, going from one language to another language. But this, when we understand the whole scripture, we understand that God isn't sending people. We understand the reason they were carried away captive is because they were disobeying God. Do you know that all throughout history, including this country, and I think I mentioned this last week, but all throughout history, when God's people disobey God for a certain amount of time, he pulls his hand out. And he lets them have their way. Right? He never wanted them to have a king, but they kept there and they disobeyed. We want a king. He's like, I don't want you to have that, but because you keep asking, have a king. They'll rule over you. They'll take your money. They'll take your stuff. Praise the Lord. But they wanted to be like all the other people. Yeah, God's people are still doing that today. They're like, they come into church, they see the change, they see that God wants a difference. They hear Jeremiah 29:11. Well, that's a hook that we throw out there for you. You know, that's how we bait you. We tell your people, they come in here, they hear Jeremiah 29:11, they come in here, they're like, God's got a good plan for me. My life sucks right now, but God's got a good plan for me. You know what that means? Wow, that's pretty awesome. And so they get excited about that, and so they come back. Hallelujah. But they come back and they find out, wait a minute, I got to do something? What do you mean I got to do something? There's responsibility on my part? You mean I can't just be a casual bystander and watch the church do its thing no, you got to get involved. And where you got to get involved? In every area of your life. I'll tell you what, I've learned this. Any area of my life that I can't involve in the church is an area of life I've got to get rid of. I don't care if it's people. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's jobs. I don't care if it's, it doesn't care whatever it is, activity. It doesn't matter what it is. If it gets away between you and church. Now, you understand, I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being the church. But what does the church look like? Hallelujah. What does the church look like? What does the church look like? It doesn't look like you off here by yourself. Praise the Lord. No, the church comes together. The church, because when we come together, there's power that happens here. And as we come together, my brother Cody asked me a really awesome question. Mind if I share it? He's like, I don't even know what he's saying. Well, praise the Lord. He said to me, you know, he asked me one day, he's like, you know, you've talked about the things that we'll get into if we can get past the basics. He's like, what are those things? Hallelujah. That's a good question. Those things, I can't even answer those things because we ain't got there yet. We can see some of them in the Bible. We can see amazing healings, amazing outpourings of the Spirit. You say, what's an outpouring of the Spirit? Amazing outpouring of the Spirit. Well, if you look through Scripture, it's the amazing outpouring of the Spirit. Well, at one point, the dead jumped up out of the grave and started walking around on earth. That was pretty amazing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know what's happening down there at Family Church Manitoba. Holy cow, people are coming up out of the grave. Grandma's out there walking around, praise the Lord, shaking hands and preaching about Jesus. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's some stuff that happened back then. You know what I'm saying? Jesus walked up to people, got an ear chopped off. He walked up to a person, laid his hand on the side of their head, the ear grew back. He went to the grave of Lazarus. Everybody was crying and whining because Lazarus was dead. The Messiah was standing right there before. He still couldn't figure it out, even all the miracles he did. And he took his time getting there, too. He took his time getting to the grave. They're like, oh, you might as well go now. He's dead. He stinketh. Hallelujah. He ain't smelling good no more. But you know what Jesus said? He said, Lazarus, get up and walk. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. The kind of stuff I'm talking about is where people walk in the door, they fall in the Spirit because they can't stand anymore. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about maybe spending days or weeks so enraptured in the glory of God that we can't even move. You know, there was a time in history, I think it was Maria Woodworth Eder, she was a Pentecostal old, praise the Lord, stood in one place for 3 days, didn't move in the presence of the Lord. When she came to, I think it was 3 days, if somebody could correct me if I'm, it was days, it was 3 or 7 or something like that. Days and didn't move. Who said, that can't happen? Praise the Lord, don't believe it. I believe in a miracle working God. I believe in a God who walks on water. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. They said that when the disciples were walking down the street, their shadow would fall on people and would heal people. Heal them instantly. I'm talking about you walking through Walmart, and all of a sudden somebody gets up out of a wheelchair. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. How do we get there? Well, first of all, you got to get serious about church. You got to get serious about the church. I'm not just talking about the building. I'm talking about the church, us. You got to get serious about you. You know, Rachel said an awesome thing. She said, there ain't no family like your church family. And that's the truth. Right. People haven't got it yet. Right. Why do I say that? Because your family on earth, they'll fail you. Yeah. Heck, I can tell you something. Your family here on earth, they'll get excited about your life when it gets changed. But you know what they'll also do? They'll also start getting mad when you start changing. When they see that you're not on drugs anymore, when they see that you're not doing things the way you used to, when they see that you can live normal, they'll get excited. But then all of a sudden they'll start saying, wait a minute, you don't act the same way you used to do. Well, wait a minute, you don't. And then it starts convicting them because of what they do. And then they start not liking what you do. And then so they'll start coming against you. How do I know that? The Bible tells us that, and I've also seen it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives. Why? That's what happens because the Bible tells us those who aren't of this faith, they're dead. They're walking dead. And they want what dead things want, to be more dead, to rot and stink. Hallelujah. But that's not what we want. See, people will reject you. But I'm going to give you an example. There are families' examples in here, praise the Lord, of people who didn't want this, but they couldn't deny the change. And so they came. We got families all over. We got people that are sitting in here today that came because somebody persevered. Because somebody didn't compromise. Praise the Lord. I love my sister Becky back here. Just such an awesome woman of faith. Hasn't even been with us, just a little over a year now. And Denny, her husband, come. I remember when Becky first started coming, Denny didn't want to come. And there's no slight to him. He didn't know, right? He didn't know all the good stuff that was happening here. But what he couldn't deny is what was happening in his wife's life. Amen? And so as he watched these things come, he finally did come with her. I remember that first he wouldn't even come around, and then all of a sudden he'd come into the parking lot. I remember those days. But you know what? My sister of faith back here, this is ultimate faith. And if you're believing for somebody to do, you do the same exact thing. Well, kind of. I mean, I'll finish that after. But she sat here. She sat back in that same area. And she said, you know what? She said, I come here every week, and this is where I sit because I think this is where he'd like to sit. And I'm saving a seat for my husband. She was saving a seat for her husband. Now, Denny's been coming with us. We love Denny so much, so faithful. Praise the Lord. This perfect example of just what I'm talking about. See, praise the Lord. when people won't compromise, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. But see, when people won't compromise, it draws, there's something about it that draws those in. Amen? And there'll be others. There's others in here I can mention, but I'm not going to right now. But you understand, why do I bring these things up? And why did I say don't just, because if we all save seats for somebody, then we're going to have to big. Now, listen, now if we want to build a bigger sanctuary and then save seats for everybody, we can do that. And if you guys want to, hey, you go on a challenge, we'll do it. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is we can save it in our what the real thing wasn't because she actually saved me. It was because that's what her heart had determined. This is his seat no matter what. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And that's the way that it should be. Yeah. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. People waste more time trying to escape the place where they are failing to understand that God, if followed, will take them right out of it. People waste more time. I remember, I can preach this because I am one of the greatest examples of this of anyone I know. I came in and I had talents, praise the Lord. I was an artist and I liked everything in me. All I wanted to do was something with my art. I wanted to do something. It was everything to me. Hallelujah. I worked in a factory and I hated that job every day of my life. Sunday afternoon roll around and I would start getting ill, literally physically ill, because I knew I had to go back there. That's how bad I hated it. I hated it for 13 and a half years. I worked a job I hated because I had a family. Praise the Lord. But see, my focus was about getting out of that situation and getting into another because I was so consumed by it. That was my focus. And so even when I came in, I would latch on to, and when I first came to God, I would latch on to anybody who would help me or say something that even remotely sounded like it would get me what I wanted. Yeah. That's how I came into church. But I had a love for God too. And as I allowed, as that love for God in me grew, they started realizing that these other things, they just didn't mean as much to me anymore. And I just started letting them go. I found myself, I wasn't bound anymore. Now, I'll give you an example. This year, I don't think I've drawn one picture, or maybe just two pictures maybe all year. And one was like I had to force it out of me. Is it because God doesn't want me to use my talent? It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with me submitting my will to His and saying, I want what God wants. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I was in that, when I got to do what I wanted to do, and there was times when I did, when I came to the church, I had finally got to a place in my life where I was becoming something. Amen? I was starting to get all these opportunities to be able to do what I wanted to do. I was starting to get these opportunities to make good money doing what I wanted to do. Money I still don't make now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I had all these opportunities to travel and to go and meet people and to do all these things that I wanted to do and make my art and to make other people happy and have the pats on the back and, wow, you're so awesome. Is anyone doesn't like that? Praise the Lord. Is there anyone that does something that doesn't like to hear how good they did? Yeah, anybody that cooked a meal maybe? That, you know, how do you like it when someone says you're like the best cook ever, hallelujah, or something? I don't care what it is, what's your thing? You understand? So I was finally getting these opportunities, and the doors were open. I could see the future, and the future was looking good. And then the call of God was there. And so I sacrificed it. I put it down. Sometimes the sacrifices we'll make, we won't. I told my wife this. Sometimes yesterday we were talking about this. We were driving back from Cleveland. Praise the Lord. We were driving back from Cleveland in the weather, doing 35 on 90. Hallelujah. And so we're driving, and I said, you know, sometimes we will give up things that we won't ever touch again. Yeah. Sometimes by just because I can't do some of the things because I'm called to the ministry. Amen. And this is my life in particular. But that's not sad, because those things I've laid down, God has blessed me so much more. He's increased around me things that I could never had the other way. Why? Because He's good. That's our God. When we follow His plan, it always takes us to more. But see, people spend all this time trying to figure it out, and He's already got the plan. I know the thoughts, plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of peace, not of evil. What are peace? Do you know it's not peace when you say, I want this, I want that, I want this? Is there anybody who wants something in their life? Sure. Is there anybody, not just want something. I mean, you know, like I want a cheeseburger right now. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, is there anybody who wants something in life? Is there something that you know you could never have? Hallelujah. You ever wanted something in life? That's a lack of peace. A lack of peace says, I'll never get that, but I want it so badly. Is there anybody who's ever dealt with that? Am I the only one? I mean, seriously, there's those things in life that we want so bad that we could touch it, we could taste it, we daydream about it. That's a lack of peace. Listen to this scripture again. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Hope in the Bible is always an expected end, an expectation of good. That's what hope in the Bible is. Oh, I hope it happens. That's a lack of peace. Peace and not of evil. You see how we're connecting this? You see, God's plan brings us to that. People, they'll come into the church and they're like, well, how do I get out of this mess? Just lay it down. Come in the state that you're in. Let God work it out of you. As He works it out of you, as He works Him into you, praise the Lord, as He works His word into you, what's going to happen is your life is going to start transforming. You're going to start dealing with people differently. You're going to start having a better relationship with your spouse. You're going to start looking at things wholly differently. You won't be so bound by those things that always bound you. This is our God. Hallelujah. Well, we better hurry, Pastor Jeff. Matthew 6:19. There's a lot of utterance today, and I there's people that are getting their answers. Praise the Lord. We're so bound by the stuff that we forget about the God who made all the stuff. The Bible says that He gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us the desires of our heart. He wants you to have them as bad as you want to have them. Praise the Lord. But God ain't Burger King. He ain't have it your way, and He ain't having it instantly as you drive through. God requires faith. Praise God. Matthew 19 or 6:19. Praise the Lord. Got to get to the right page. Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Okay. So God obviously doesn't want you to have anything, right? Because this means you'd be poor. This means you go without, right? Because you don't want to lay up treasures. That's not what he's saying. Read the next verse. For where your heart is, there your heart, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he's saying is, what Jesus was saying is, don't make your treasure the things of the earth. Make your treasure the things of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to see some more here because we're not done yet. Because we got to get focused in the right area. We got to see things right. Amen? And I'm going to keep moving. Praise the Lord. I just want to just say this, read this real quick. Just look it up here. 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're so focused on everything here, what you don't realize is in not too long from now, it's all burning up. All this earth gets destroyed. He's gonna completely destroy this earth eventually. You understand that? So everything you do, you could be the greatest person in the world. You know, I think about this all the time as we see celebrities die. My first question that always hits me is, and one of the things I do often when I see it, is I go and see if there's any hope that they were even saved. Why? Because it doesn't matter how big they were on earth. You're a nobody in hell. Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You had everything you want. You were the greatest whatever here on earth. But you're nothing in hell. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Skip down to verse 24. This is all in the same context. Amen? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon literally is, it's unrighteous riches, is really what it is. It could be money, but it's unrighteous riches. It could be anything that you hold of great value that is unrighteous, is really what it amounts to. You can't serve both. So whatever you, listen, you can't, Jesus said. He's the Son of God. He was God on the earth. He told us, you cannot serve both. If you're serving one, you will hate, you're despising the other. You can't serve God in the world. You can't. What's the plan, people? You can't serve God in the world. You cannot serve both. You are going to hate one or hate the other. Praise the Lord. And that's really, the word hate isn't just like, oh, I hate God. Because I doubt you hate God. But what it's saying is you can love God, but you can despise the plan of God by not doing it, by not getting it, by not fulfilling it. Understand? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. First part of verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Yeah. Do not worry about your life. Again, we're going back to that same thing. Where do you come from? Where are you? Don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't worry about your life. Well, how am I going to do this? I got to work 10 jobs because I got to do this. No, you won't. If you got to work a job that takes you out of church, you're not following the plan of God. You are completely not following God at all, actually. You're saying that what you're doing is you are serving that job, you are serving your financial situation over serving God. Yeah. Now, I'm not talking, there's times when, yes, there are times where obviously you may have a special thing comes up. We have people that are on call sometimes, and yes, once in a while that's going to take you. That's not what I'm talking about. We can't twist it, but I'm saying if it habitually takes you away from the things of God, then it's not serving God. You'd be better to, there's actually scripture that says it's better to be poor and have the right character than to be rich with evil character. Yeah, I think it's a proverb or psalm or something like that. But you understand that it's not saying that it's good to be poor, but it's saying it's better if you don't have, and you have good care. At least you have good character. Praise God, hallelujah. Do not worry about your life. People are so consumed with their life. If you're worried about your life all the time, you don't know God. If you're worried about everything in your life all the time, if you're worried about this, worried about that, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? If you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, then you don't know God. You don't know your God. You need to listen. When I say you don't know God, doesn't mean that you can't love God. Yes, you can love him. You say, I love God. I love Jesus. I'm still saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. What I'm saying is you don't really understand who he is. You haven't understand what he does. You don't understand what salvation means. That's why I teach you. That's why we come back to this. When we put this stuff out there, praise the Lord. And this stuff isn't boring. This stuff, I mean, I'm telling you, we praise the Lord. I still get excited every time I read. The same thing. I mean, every time I look at this, it transforms my mind. See, this is how you transform your mind. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing, not heard. I heard it once, so I'm good. No, because I'm going to tell you right now. I know that this applies to my life, but I know it applies to every single one of you, that you hear it 10 times and it's not enough. Yeah, we need to hear it and hear it and hear it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To serve here means to become a slave to the lesser. Praise God. Matthew 6:32. So just go down there a little further. Because there's a filler, and the filler is important. I'm not skipping over it. I'm skipping over it for time's sake. Because I really got to get to this next part. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Added. When something is added, you don't, like, if somebody adds something to you, you don't go out there working for it or trying for it or striving for it or believing for it. It's added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his plan. Seek that out and watch it be added. Wow, this was added to me. I didn't know this. Praise the Lord. I didn't know I had access to this. But now I do. It's yours. Why? Because that's our God. That's who our God is. He wants to add to his people. Do not worry about your life, because he wants to add it to you. He wants to do it. I'm going to tell you, I'm a dad now for 21 years, and I'm going to tell you, and I got some others in between, but I'm going to tell you right now, there is not one day that I don't think about what I can add to my children's lives. And if any of you are a good parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everything you do is because you want to add to your children's life. Well, God created this entire world to add to your life, because that's what your God wants to do. That's what this God wants to do. But there's people out there that are teaching false doctrine and garbage teachings that say that God wants to give and take away, and that he wants to destroy you. He's the builder and the wrecking ball. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's not my God. People are seeking what God has already found for them. They're seeking it. You're seeking what God has already found. He's already provided. Do you understand? I'm going to tell you, you need to re-listen to this message until you get that what I'm saying. The answer to all life questions, all of them, are found right here. Everything can be answered in this word. The real joy is taking what this says and discovering the real treasure. It's not the stuff of the earth. That stuff will be added to you, but that stuff comes and goes. It rots away. It'll be destroyed one day. The real treasure is finding his plan and walking in it. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. God has, your election is what God has chosen you. That's your election. You got elected. God picked you. He said, you're the one. Hallelujah. Sure. You be diligent to make it sure, stable, and firm. To make you got to make your call and your election sure. You got to say, listen, I am a child of the Most High God. I know that he's got plans for me. And though I may not know what every one of those plans are, I know that I have access to it, and I will access it, and I will get into it. See, this is how faith speaks. Faith never says, I don't know. Faith never says, it may never. Ha, hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me, and this is where we got to finish up. I got just a few minutes to do this. Ephesians 1, praise the Lord. Ephesians 1, it used to be in there. Ephesians 1, and verse 15. And I'm going to read through verse 23, and I'm going to read through it kind of quickly. And then I'm going to translate it for you in a translation that I got. It follows right along with it, but you can be able to see it if you look. But I want you to hear this. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Because it's real easy to look over these scriptures quickly and not saying. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, your faith in Jesus and your love for all the saints, that's all the people of God, that's not like statues in some church somewhere. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do not cease to give thanks for making mention of you in my prayers. This is what he mentions of you in your prayers. This is what Paul wanted you to know. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. At his right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise the Lord. Now listen, because this is exactly what this just said. I pray that God makes you know and understand what you can expect because he has called you. I pray that God makes you know and understand the enhanced quality of the supreme power and authority that you inherit, that he has set aside for the church. As an example, he used the same power on Christ after he died and was in hell, the lowest and worst place anyone could be, to raise him, to show you, no matter how bad off you are, his power active in you already is much greater. He did not just raise him to where he was on the earth, but he raised him all the way up right next to the throne of God, so far above any possible threat that nothing could ever reach him, but everything is now under his feet. You, Christian, even if you are the most seemingly useless of all the parts of the body, are still far above because you were right there with him because you are now his body. Praise the Lord. See, what God was wanting to do in us all along is bring us back to that place and not just, see, God isn't just okay with bringing it back to par. He wants to bring it back and make it better. Because God has a thing about when the devil takes ground. He didn't like that. God didn't like it when the devil gains something on you. Praise the Lord. He wants to take you back and make you bigger. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to end with this scripture, Ephesians 1:23 in the Amplified. This is the scripture that we just read it, verse 23. But this is in the Amplified. Talking about the church, you and I, praise the Lord. Everybody say, me. I'm the church. With you. We are the church. Praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him. In that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and fills everything everywhere with himself. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you want to know who you are in Christ, spend a little time in the first couple chapters of Ephesians. Because Ephesians tells us all about who we are, who the church is, who you and I are. Praise the Lord. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's the first chapter. There's other chapters. You understand. He didn't stop there. Ephesians 2 gets even better. Praise the Lord. Because God is not okay with us just being defeated and worthless and whipped and without. That's not who he created us or recreated us to be. Hallelujah. You are complete and full in him, not just because you say you are a Christian, but because you live according to his plan for you. God had me end the year, these last 3 weeks, with this set of messages to show us something. We are to take this into the next year. I love that we have years that start and end. Because here's the thing. God is always, God acts, that's a plan of God. And that's to show us something, that there is always a new beginning. There's always a day. He said that sorrow may last for the night, but his joy comes in the morning. Praise the Lord. These are new every morning. God is a God of setting things right. God is a God of starting things over. Praise the Lord. So if you have had, maybe you had a great year in 2017. Praise the Lord. You go from glory to glory. That means 2018. Just get better if you're believing for it. Maybe you had a terrible year in 2017. Well, guess what? You got a new footing to get off on. It is not an accident that God has sent these scriptures and these messages to us. He is setting us up for a most glorious year coming up. The most glorious year that we've ever had. But we choose whether or not we walk in that. Now we've got to, I know as I preach these messages that the Lord has dealt with your hearts on things. There's things that you know you need to correct, and there's things that you know, hey, I'm good there. Praise the Lord for it both. If there's things that you need to correct, then you correct them in your own time. It's not my job to tell you what those are. You know, specifically, you understand. My job is to chase you down, making sure you're believing God and doing God, doing all things right by God. But now is the time to start. Praise the Lord. Now is the time to start. We believe God for big things, and we see big things. What I want is a church full of people believing God for big things, because if I can get a church full of people believing God for big things, then we're going to do really, really great and mighty things. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's got wonderful things for us in this coming year. This coming year is so precious to the Lord. It's precious to me. Should be precious to you. Get excited for it right now. I am so glad the last day of the earth. Woo! Glory to God. We had church on the last day of the earth. And what a church service. Hallelujah. The Word of God is always good. The Word of God has always taken us through. It's taken us higher. It's taken us into all that He has. Great and wonderful promises, by which great and precious promises have been given to us, says the Lord. Hallelujah. He literally said that. It's in Scripture. I'm not trying to be some freaky prophet. I'm just telling you, He literally said that. Hallelujah. Great and precious promises. He who gave us Christ, how will He not with Him give us all things? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You've set us straight. You set us on a course, Lord, that is blessed. Father, as we follow that course, we know that there's good things for us. We know that this year is going to be better than the next, Lord, and we refuse to have anything less. I said we refuse to have anything less. Lord, we're built up, we're going on, we're excited, we're moving into all the things that you have for us. God, we're going to be the church that You have made us to be. We are the church that You've made us to be. And we walk in those things, Lord, by faith. We love You and praise You for it. We love You and praise You for it. We love You and praise You for it. Glory to God. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We give this opportunity every week because we don't know everybody here, or we don't know the hearts of everybody or what people are dealing with. So we like to give this opportunity every week. I don't care if you, and I want you to ask yourself, I don't care if you've been to church 1,000 times. I don't care if you've been to church 10,000 times. I don't care if you've been going to church for the last 10,000 years. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is that you have accepted the Lord, that you have decided to walk into His plan, and that first plan is the plan of salvation. If you were to die today, do you know that you would be with Jesus? And if that answer in you could not be a 100% absolute resounding yes, then you need to get there, and you can get there right now. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a guarantee. And so if you've never done that before, if you've never received Jesus before in your life and you'd like to today, it's real simple. All you have to do is you have to believe it in your heart that God raised Him from the dead for you so you can be saved. And you've got to confess it with your mouth, which we'll do together, and you'll be saved. So if that's you, what we're going to do is we're just going to have you lift your hand. I'm not going to have you come up front or anything, and then we'll all pray a prayer together. It'll be real right there in the private. Nobody's looking around. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and slip up your hand real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't see any hands, but I'm going to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus, but you've walked away, and I don't mean that you've made a few mistakes. Listen, if you made some mistakes, you're in good company. I've made a lot of mistakes myself, this week even. But I'm going to tell you something, that God is much bigger than our mistakes. If you walked away from God, and I mean you have left him completely, just left the plan of God and wanted nothing to do with God anymore, but you wanna get that right, there's still hope for you. If that's you, you'd like to come back to the Lord right now, and you're serious about it, go ahead and lift up your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord, for that hand. You can put it down. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Is there any other hands? Hallelujah. See, this is just as important to me because when somebody raises their hand, you know, I was in a service once where the pastor did just the same thing. It was up in Jamestown, and I remember that morning, that Sunday morning. I remember it so clearly. I remember when he was praying the same thing, when he was talking about the same thing, that I felt on fire. I just knew I needed to do it. I had walked away from God, but I'm going to tell you what. When I came back to God, you know, there was a lot of things in my life that told me I couldn't just come back, and there was a lot of things that tried to hold me back. But I'm going to tell you what right now. God picked me up. He turned me around. He set my feet on solid ground. He sent me off running. And I'm going to tell you what, if you will just get hungry for God, you'll never, ever, ever be the same again. God will do such amazing and great things in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm speaking prophetically, though, by the way. Hallelujah. So if you raise your hand, I want you to know this, that God loves you greatly. God loves you more than you can even imagine. He loves you like you are the only person on this earth, and he's ready if you are. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you raise your hand, just go ahead and pray this prayer after me. And we're all going to pray this together. Actually, everybody pray it. But if you raise your hand, just mean it out of your heart. And this is set you straight. This is set you new. Hallelujah. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so I could be saved. I thank you for your forgiveness because I've been away. But I come back to you now, and I know all things are new. I have a clean slate. All things are working in me again to bring me into that plan that you have for me that's full of blessing, it's full of life, and I receive it now in Jesus' name.